Any commission remarks?
I will say I think we're all aware that the Beaver Creek Bridge has been closed by MoDOT. It is a U.S. highway. MoDOT maintains and controls it. And we've had numerous calls, emails, one here I've just finished reading, wanting the county commission to have a meeting to inform the people and educate, but the county commission has no control of it at all, and I think everyone here understands that. But MoDOT has assured us that their inspectors, and when they decide who will do the repair, they will then have a timeline, and they'll give it to us. It'll be made public to everyone. And we put the routes on our website, the two routes to go if you're coming from Pro Tem or Cedar Creek, which is to go through 125 at Bradleyville, 125, and or to go FF at Taneyville. That's on our website. And we'll do anything that we can help on any of those roads, and we're seeing that they're all in good shape, passable, what we have control of. But other than that, MoDOT's been made aware about the emergency vehicles, which has been pointed out to us by different constituents. There's just simply nothing the commission can do on that. My cell phone number is 417-339-6619. I can't help them with that. They want that made public. I'll answer any questions, but I can't help in repairing the bridge. Thank you.
Parking garage discussion.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sarah.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
Morning.
Morning.
I don't think so.
Do you have copies?
I don't.
What you need?
Is it this?
Yes.
Wait, got it. Let me look.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I've got an extra if you don't.
Here you go.
I got one.
All right, I'm Jason Simples of Great River Engineering, out of Springfield. Basically, came here to talk about and discuss the parking garage itself. I'm trying to remember now, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, Scott noticed some minor cracking and some issues with the parking garage structure itself. We then performed some non-destructive testing is the best way to put that. So we performed a chain drag where we identified areas of concern, and then we performed some non-destructive further testing. It was then determined that we should do some spot repairs and further investigations to see what we thought about what was underneath the concrete. And Denzel and Scott got together and a couple of the road crew people and some of the building maintenance people, and they did an excellent job of saw cutting into the deck of the girders and investigating that. In the areas where we had identified for repairs, we did find deterioration of the steel structure underneath, and we found some problems with the concrete itself was what we call delaminating, where it comes apart fairly easily. We then, after the spot repairs, had a couple more cracks show up later on, which is not uncommon whenever we strengthen that part of the deck. The load finds a new path of least resistance, and kind of like a chain, it breaks the next weakest link, which can cause more small cracks. We were concerned at the time about the steel, and we wanted to do a little bit more testing, and Sheila, we had talked about you had helped advise us on some locations to do some further testing where we thought that the steel was in good condition. Scott had looked at, and we didn't have any potential, or we didn't think we had any potential issues. We conducted those tests last week, or the week before that, because we were out last week to MAC. There was a handful of different locations on the west side and on the south side of the parking structure. Those locations had a the steel was in better condition than we had found in the original repair locations. There might have been a little bit of light surface rust, but there was not nearly the level of deterioration. And the concrete itself put up a lot more of a fight for the crew taking it out. It was in a lot better condition. Circling the wagon back, the damage for the most part seems to be in the primary driving lanes as you pull onto the parking garage structure itself for the first approximately 95 to 100 feet. The problem we feel is a mixture of, that's where people predominantly park, so it sees load most often. Also it has the least amount of drainage or the least drainage slope there, and cars will drag salts and things like that from the roadway, from a MoDOT route or anywhere else onto that bridge deck, and then it drips down on, I call it bridge deck, onto that parking garage deck structure. It drips down onto there. Also, there was a fire truck years ago that pulled on there and caused some cracking as well that had been repaired or spot repaired. We have contacted MTS, who did the repairs, and I have not had a chance to catch up with Tom from there because he was in Columbia the end of last week, and so he's going to try to catch up with me this week or next, but we've talked a little bit over the phone. They did the spot repairs when the fire truck fell, the front wheels or rear wheels, I think front wheels fell partially through the deck a number of years ago. We have since also recommended to drop the load rating down to 3 tons, which is a 6,000-pound vehicle. On that, where we're at today, we have concern with the structure itself having more small cracks show up and or small pieces fall down below in between the joints. And so that's where our concern primarily is routed in that immediate area. We've got the original drawings from Hood Ridge Architecture. Spencer and I both looked at the drawings. We've ran some calculations on it. Where we found the steel to be excessively corroded, we're worried that we're going to keep having small cracks kind of continuously as we keep parking on it, regardless of really any vehicle. It's just going to keep going, micro cracking. And it can be small pieces. I don't think you're going to have a major failure where a 2-foot section falls through, but you can still have decent-sized pieces falling off continuously, is what our concern is. Spencer and I spent a lot of time looking at this last week, especially, and doing some calculations on it. We're just concerned it could become a long-term maintenance issue, and you could open yourselves up to somebody getting hit by small pieces or vehicle damage and stuff on the parking structure below. We're preliminarily recommending not to park in that area. Now the question becomes, do we want to try to do more repairs? Do we want to try to get MTS to come look at doing some repairs to help ensure that stuff's not going to slough off on the bottom side? Do you want us to look at some type of netting to catch if small pieces fall through there? Or do we want to look at an alternative way to get onto that parking garage or a lane, a way to where we can block off the main part of that section and then allow people to park on the remaining 60%? Square footage-wise, it encompasses about 40% of the top part. Does that make sense? It's not optimal, but unfortunately, the more investigating in that one zone that we do, the more little issues that we find with corrosion and stuff. In the other zones, it's doing pretty well. We usually see a little bit of light surface rust. That's not uncommon. The concrete itself didn't just fly apart like it did. I know the guys were all out there whenever we were on the first day of repairs. As soon as they'd hit it with the hammer, it would just fly apart into pieces. That section would. And then as we got into the other sections, it would put up a lot more of a fight. So the concrete was in a lot better shape in those sections.
Knowing that you're testing on the other side of the garage where the back side where the fire truck did not go in on, it tested, the concrete tested good. And we've got the sign, no trucks. now, or a 3-ton limit. So like say, we would, be responsible for if we were, I don't know, it was given to me in an email, I'm trying to think of to knowing the, or weight of a passenger van, a large van, or a one that, to know that it did not come over the 3-ton limit in parking there. If we park our vehicle yes. there. So that's not just trucks, it's anything that's over 3-ton, right?
Correct, correct. Now, what becomes difficult,
mm-hmm.
And I don't have perfect guidance, so I apologize. Some half-ton trucks are under, some mm-hmm. half-ton trucks are over. Some half-ton trucks are under until you put stuff in the bed of them and then they become over. Some SUVs, same way. They're under, they're over. This is the same thing that road bridge faces on all their bridges or their load posts. People tend to ignore the load posting and drive on it anyway, so they'll drive a large van or a log truck or things like that out on the road and bridge side. But it's the no trucks is kind of a blanket, should catch pretty much everything. If the commission, you know, the real stickler for us as the engineers is 3 tons. I don't really care what the vehicle's shape like. It's the 3 tons, and that's where it becomes tough to police because you've got different size SUVs. A big Suburban would weigh a lot more than, say, a Chevy Equinox or something like that. I don't know what a Suburban weighs. I would imagine it's over 3 tons, though, but if I weighed one.
I can Google it real quick.
You can Google it.
Continue on.
Put me on the spot here.
But, well, there's different sizes of Suburbans, too. Yeah.
But that's just the problem you run into. And so what we'd recommend is a 3-ton posting, and then we'd recommend that maybe the commission, we can talk more about the final wording of that, if you want to allow certain trucks or not. It just becomes so difficult to figure out. Okay. Whereas you said cars only, but then again, a lot of people classify their SUV, they go, and they pull on there. And if you said small cars only, then you don't have enough small cars, you make it worth opening up, probably.
Now, what you're discussing in the letter of where we would enter into the garage, where the entrance is at now,
mm-hmm.
the way I understood, and I was given to this morning, but I haven't had a chance to go through it, the police report where the Forsyth Fire Department truck went through was about 8 or 9 feet back from the entrance. So, do you not feel it's safe to come in that entrance and come right straight to the other side where that archway is there, come right across there to go to that parking garage there, keep the entrance as it is?
I think you have the option to keep the entrance as it is. I'll give it, Scott and I can go over there after this and give it a visual, strong visual inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would recommend that almost daily do a quick walkthrough and make sure that no signs show up. Mm-hmm. Of immediate, you know, failure or issues starting mm-hmm. to happen.
Yeah.
And if anything does show up, then to do repairs for that section or to close it until we can figure out exactly what's going on. Our fear is just that something falls. And not a whole vehicle falling through, just that something falls and hits somebody below or hits a piece of property below it. You know, a chunk of rock or something like that. And so I would recommend a strong inspection, which I know Scott's office is basically down there, so it's he should be able to walk out there and inspect.
He does it daily now.
Yeah.
He does.
So it'd just be part of this standard inspection routine.
But if you open up down at the far end that you're saying, cut through that.
You're going to lose a lot of spots.
Pardon?
You're
going to lose a lot of spots in a tree
mm-hmm.
and it's electrical there. You're going to,
yeah,
more than what I realized in the beginning.
Yeah, there's issues down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think we would be comfortable as the engineer saying that basically cone it off or blockade it. And I'd use a little blockade because I really don't want to put Jersey barriers on there that weigh a ton. But to block it off, enough where you can get a vehicle in and then go around. And then we do a really rigorous inspection protocol on that section. Do you have any questions, Brandon?
5808.
That's empty.
It's empty.